Let's talk about Jesus. He's everything to me. The Lord of Lords is He through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Father, praise you and thank you that we can talk about your only begotten Son, our Savior. And Father, his preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Pray you'd bless in our Bible study this afternoon. Pray again that you'd touch each one that tune in and cause again, especially that you'd have your hand on Good Samaritan Baptist Church, that our folks could grow in you and come to love you more. And Father, we talked this morning about it taking three to thrive, and we've only got one service a week going with our prayer meeting this week. And so I pray again that you'd help us to thrive on your Bible studies and this one also. We'll praise you now and thank you for your help on lives through your word. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Again, I'm Pastor Ed Rice of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. It's our pleasure to come by way of these Bible studies again to touch base with our folks and also again to have an outreach of our little church to family and friend across the nation. And so I thank you for tuning in. And let's go ahead and continue on in our Bible study that we've started, looking at the nine blessed R's. I've enjoyed this again. And as we look at that, we're in Matthew and chapter 5. And let's go ahead and read through again the early portion of those. In Matthew chapter 5. We're up to today, the fourth one. And so let's look at what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 5, Word of God says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So we're looking at the nine blessed R's on the Sermon on the Mount. We've covered that it is an introduction to more than the Sermon on the Mount. This is a transition book between the Gospels, or between the Old Testament and New Testament, and Matthew being the first of the Gospels. And so we're in chapter 3 of a book that I'm writing. We're reviewing again the second group of blessed R's, and it is addressing how God changes the heart. The first three blessed R's: blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, address the condition of the heart in the approach to a holy God. The effects of these three show the blessed position that a repentant soul has, and that is, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, for they shall be comforted, and they shall inherit the earth." This is markedly true for the born-again saint in the age of grace. Such a humble approach to a holy God was just as true and just as necessary for Abraham under the dispensation of promise, and just as true for Moses under the dispensation of law. But it came most manifest when the fullness of time was come, and God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, Galatians 4:4. And so this is transitioning to this present dispensation or age of grace. And so there are those who dismiss these dispensations altogether and suppose that there's only one covenant. And there are those who hyperextend this dispensation to suppose that Paul founded a church different from the Church of Christ founded. Be leery of such false teachers as we've gone through them, but understand that the gospel according to Matthew describes a careful transition from the dispensation of law into the dispensation of grace. And so that's been kind of already covered in our first three blessed R's. Those again address an approach to God whereby salvation is administered into a person's life after he finds Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so the next three blessed R's in Jesus's introduction to this Sermon on the Mount are: blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart. And so those three blessings addresses the change in the heart that God then makes to the soul that has received him. The effects given show the blessed results of such a change. They shall find, they shall obtain mercy, and they shall see God. And so we want to look at these next three. Again, this is markedly true for the born-again saint in the age of grace, and the Bible says much about these changes wrought in these forgiven people. So let's look at that first one. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The psalmist says, I love this psalm. I think there's a song that we sing that goes with it. As the heart panteth, H-A-R-T, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, Psalm 42. The Bible is clear that in our old nature, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10 says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So several references in the Bible talk about none that seeketh God, none that seek after righteousness. But notice again, this blessing is to those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so notice that there is a transformation in a life to cause them to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I trust you've had that conversion and that transformation. The prophet says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Isaiah 51. Zephaniah pitches in, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And so there we find again that there is a seeking that God puts in our soul when we are transformed. Solomon in Proverbs said, the way of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, findeth righteousness, findeth honor. Proverbs 15:9, 21:21. And so notice again that this seeking after righteousness is something that's added to us when our heart has been changed. It is substantiated in these scriptures and more that only after a change is wrought in the soul of man are they enabled to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Prior to conversion, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. after conversion, Jesus said it this way. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's out of John 8, 31 and 32. In Acts, the apostles state, then they that gladly received the word were baptized. They continued, I like that, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Again, it is substantiated in these scriptures that only after a change is wrought in the soul of man are they enabled to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so this is kind of the opening theme of these next three, that God does a work in the heart of a new believer. And so notice again, it is substantiated in these scriptures that only after this change is wrought in the soul of man are they enabled to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the result of this hunger and thirst after righteousness is they shall be filled. This is the first blessed hour that describes and emphasizes a changed nature in the born-again believer. That change, this new hunger, righteousness, is given with the promise that God will fill it. A notable preacher, Baptist preacher of the gospel, gave testimony that in his early 20s, in the 3 weeks after his miraculous salvation, he read the whole Bible through from Genesis to Matthew, whereupon he surrendered to a call to preach. Whereupon he read the whole Bible through Genesis to Matthew. I've heard similar testimonies of this hunger and thirst after righteousness that subsequently resulted in a thorough filling of the Holy Spirit of God. It is evident that the promise, for they shall be filled, in that instance may be referencing such a filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And so they shall be filled. Continuing on in this testimony that we've seen of some believers, I've seen other testimonies that do not show this hundredfold hunger and thirst after righteousness, but 60 or 30-fold. And some only grow for the shortest amount of time before they disappear altogether. I have seen still other testimonies where a professed believer sends a soul winner away, never darkens the door of a church, never again opens the Bible that revealed God's simple plan of salvation to him. Rest assured, the Bible principle is God will save you till you know it and change you till you show it. Jesus is clarifying illustration of this. Is found in the parable of the sower given in Matthew chapter 13. In fact, it opens the story, the parables in Matthew 13. Some of the seed that is sown never germinates. Some hear the word with joy, receive it, but have no depth in themselves, it says, and they bear no fruit. Some lose interest and become unfruitful, and some receive seed and bear fruit 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You can fit these testimonies into Jesus's illustration here with the sowing of the seed and its reception or not. At the time of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns about false prophets. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. But of false professors, he says, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Both of those are given in the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 and 20. Covers again a warning about false teachers. And then to verses 21 through 23 is to those who are professed believers, but not possessing believers. Discern false prophets, but let Christ discern the false professors. And so I think there's some wisdom in that little truth there. I am glad that I'm not the one who determines who is actually saved and who are the pretenders. I am glad that you are responsible. You're not responsible for that too. But as a preacher of the gospel and a minister to souls, I find it safer and more effective to pray and minister to a soul as if they are professors and not possessors than the other way around. We are charged to, wherefore, my beloved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So when a person is genuinely saved from condemnation, saved from hell, saved from sin, God implants in them a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Count on the fingers of your right hand what instantaneously happened at salvation. One is converted, justified, indwelt, quickened, baptized in Christ. Such a supernatural change induces such a supernatural hunger. The result is they shall be filled. First, their hunger and thirst shall be filled. The Bible says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I've taught before from this passage to understand that out of his belly, that's the seat of our emotion. And so this flowing of living water out of our life comes again fervently with a high impact and high emotion. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The they shall be filled is certainly on a spiritual plane, but it will one day be on a physical plane as well. The Apostle Paul testified, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst again, chapter 11, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So certainly we're not talking about a physical hunger for each of these. However, there is coming a day when even physical hunger and thirst will be filled just before the opening of the seventh seal on the book of Revelation, chapter 4, on the book described in Revelation, chapter 4. There is this marvelous revelation in chapter 7, verses 13 through 17. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, that, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And so as we understand what's coming up in our future, there's coming a time when there'll be no physical hunger and thirst these old bodies of flesh. And that'll be an uncorruptible body, a resurrected body. And so the book of Revelation closes with this promise. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's from Revelation chapter 22. And so there is a filling of our hunger and thirst on a spiritual plane, and one coming up on the physical plane is promised in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Second, they shall be filled with righteousness. So first there is this, they shall be filled, and then also consider that a saved person is going to be filled with righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Way back in the dark ages in the 1900s, I had a computer that did speech generation, and I would have it read my Bible for me or to me. And it was always curious. Back then, they didn't pronounce words quite right, and they always pronounced righteousness as like this, righteousness. And I always enjoyed that and understood a deeper meaning of the word from that mispronunciation. The right, that word righteousness means that someone is never wrong. And you and I know that we can't claim that for ourselves, never being wrong, but God can claim it. And so God imparts his righteousness into us, and we can become righteous, or being never wrong. After salvation, we have this righteousness that shall be our righteousness. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Remember, the only commandment in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, is that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you receive him, you have fulfilled the commandments of God, and you are counted righteous, even justified, as we looked at for those five things that happen when a person is instantaneously happen when they are converted. So, second, they shall be filled with righteousness, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And so the Bible says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. After salvation, we have this righteousness, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us, it says in Deuteronomy 6. So after conversion to Christ, we have a filling of righteousness available to us. And that ye put on the new man, it says in Ephesians 4, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Philippians 1 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So first, there's a filling and on a spiritual plane, and coming up in a physical plane. Secondly, there's being filled with righteousness. Let's look at a third application, and that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, or filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:2-4, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. When Peter, or Acts 4 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. In verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. In Acts chapter 9, you remember again, that deals with Paul on the Damascus Road and his salvation. Verse 17 says, and Ananias went his way and said, Brother Saul, be filled with the Holy Ghost. In chapter 13 said, then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. In verse 52 of that chapter, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And so, again, understand that there is a filling of the Holy Ghost of God. And so, notice again, there's a new hunger and thirst after righteousness. And as you pursue and continue in his word and become a disciple and grow, notice that we have that a fulfilling of that search for our hunger for and thirst for righteousness. And we find again that we are filled, just like the promise says, filled spiritually in our growth, filled with the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Much more needs to be learned, of course, about this aspect of being filled with the Holy Ghost. But it is directly related to the fourth, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so that's our first blessed are of a result after salvation. We're considering the nine blessed hours, Matthew chapter 5, we have considered attitude necessary for approaching God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the meek. And notice the result of those is theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and they shall be comforted, and they shall inherit the earth. We spent time to consider those who err, building a works salvation, which is this list of with using this list of blessed ours. That's wrong. That's false teaching. We could spend time considering the error of those who deny dispensations entirely and suppose that the Catholic Church replaces Israel. Be careful. Then we've looked briefly at the hyper dispensationalist to form a Jewish church and then a Gentile church by Paul. And certainly there's no biblical basis for such misguided teaching. Remember, Matthew is a transitional book from law to grace. In Matthew, we see the first presentation of the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We see the result of that, where they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And so this is a transitional book, the Gospel of Matthew. And it not only portrays the gospel, but it shows again the difference between the dispensation of law and the dispensation of grace. So keep those things in mind. I appreciate again that we can study these things. We are now considering the miraculous work done in the heart of a Christian in these next three blessed hours. And so we just looked at, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Next week, we'll gather again and look at, blessed are the merciful. And we'll learn some things about mercy, for they shall obtain mercy. And then also, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so as we continue on in this study, I love the simplicity of it, that again, three blessed R's that deal with our salvation and approach unto a holy God, and then three blessed R's that shows the transformation that's done inside of us. You be sure to tune in next week, and we'll continue on in this Bible study. And let me go ahead and say again that if you haven't come through those first three blessed R's, to receive salvation, you need to do that. Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. So you need to be saved. And again, the Romans road walks through that, but Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, bless you for listening in today. I trust again that you're growing again because of the 9 blessed R's that we're looking at right out of Matthew and chapter 5. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you that it teaches us, it helps us to grow. Pray your blessing on these verses. Let's look again into our hunger and thirst after righteousness. Father, may we do so. May we be hungry for your word. May your word cause our faith increase, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Thou praise you and thank you for your hand on each listener, especially on our little church and our church members that need to grow in you and continue on in troublous times that we're living in. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. All right. I didn't see how long I've gone here, so let's go ahead and try that song one more time. And I've had a time with this song, so let's go ahead and see if we can sing that one more time and learn that as a theme song. Let's talk about Jesus. He's everything to me. The Lord of Lords is he through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Praise the Lord. Lord, to bless you for being with us in our Bible study.